Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 34, February 7th, 2012. John Amodeo, producer of Tim Allen's Last Man Standing. Hello, everybody. I'm Bob Heil, and this is Ham Nation on the TWiT Network, and we have a very special show tonight. First of all, hello to you, Leo. It's nice to see you on tonight, and you're looking great. How are you doing? Everything all right there?
I'm great, but you know, Bob, I'm going to have to drum you out of the TWiT Army. You're starting this. Not only are you starting the show on time, you're actually a minute and a half early.
Well,
what is wrong with you? Don't you know we're not supposed to start till half an hour later?
Yeah, but we have this really special guest tonight, and he's on call, and he might leave us any minute because we have one of the producers of The Last Man Standing, John, NN6JA. John, how are you tonight? We're so honored to have you.
Hi, Bob. How are you? Hi, Leo.
So nice of you to join us. You know, I think it was Gordo who went down to the set, right, to play with the ham gear in the garage, in Tim Allen's garage.
Both Bob and Gordon came, and it was really a delight to have them.
We had fun there, Sarah. Enjoyed seeing everything and meeting all the fun people there. They have, Leo, they have eight people that are amateur radio operators on that staff. Tell us a little bit about that, John. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's unusual, I think. You know, at the moment, we have 12 total hams on staff of various levels of licensing. Eight of them are new hams that we sort of encouraged, if you will, here in the production office. We got about three more on the way, so I think pretty soon we'll have some more joining the ranks. I just noticed when I looked around my office, all these young people were mostly Facebooking and IMing each other, you know, 12 hours a day. And I said, you know, if you were studying for a ham test, you could get your license pretty easily, and I might be induced to buy you a handheld radio.
Ooh.
So seven of them did it. All seven passed. Two of them with 100.
Wow.
Since then, a few more have joined, and I think we're on our way to an all-ham crew here.
That's wonderful. How did this all start? I understand that, of course, you being a ham, you love amateur radio, but being able to bring it onto the show and build it in as part of the script, that's really wonderful. It's never been done before that I know of, and we thank you for doing that. We in the industry and all of the hams around the globe are watching the show and paying more attention. How did that come to fruition, your idea?
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, it happened very organically, I'm happy to say. In early meetings with Tim about his character, we talked about Mike Baxter being an outdoors man, and Mike is involved in hunting and camping and fishing and boating and all of the electronics that go with that. And there's a sort of a survivalist aspect to Mike. And I said, you know, survivalism and hunting, fishing, camping, outdoors man, there's a communications element missing. And I said, what about ham radio? And I had no idea how Tim would react to it, but he immediately thought it was a good idea. He said, oh, absolutely, amateur radio. I'm interested in amateur radio. I would love someday to get my license. I would love to have the equipment in my possession. So I sort of, you know, reached back into my ham radio past and said, well, I can certainly make that happen for you. So it became, we very quickly made Mike Baxter, KA0XTT, a Colorado-based amateur radio operator, and then incorporated that equipment into the set.
How did you get the call letters? Is that it couldn't have been somebody's real call letters, right?
No, you know, that's a funny story because I researched it immediately. Like how, you know, on television shows and movies, you'll always hear the 555 telephone number, which is the fictitious, quote unquote, cleared telephone number.
Yeah, nobody can have that number.
Nobody can have that. There's a range of 555 numbers. And I wanted essentially the same thing for ham radio call sign. I wanted it to sound real but be legal.
Right.
So I contacted Alan Pitts at the ARRL, and he's a I think he's public relations manager. or VP, sorry, Alan, if I'm getting it wrong. And we noodled about how one would make a fictitious call sign. And the guys at the ARRL really helped me with that and understanding that with the X in the last three grouping, it makes it technically an experimental call sign, which is not assignable and therefore clear, if you want to call that clear. And, you know, KA0 is simply Mike is in Colorado. I wanted the K was appropriate to the western half of the United States. And the XTT, which is our private joke, is Tim Allen on Home Improvement was Tim Taylor. T, and he's now Mike Baxter, so he's XTT.
Formerly TT.
Formerly TT. Yeah. So that's how that came about. And Tim liked it immediately. I showed him the call sign. He liked it. We printed, I won't say slash forged, an extra class license for him, which is hanging on the wall of his shack on his in his office. And the ARRL and CQ really came to our aid in creating a number of certificates and awards and things that really made the shack look real.
Does he have his own QSL card?
He does. Right here.
So you got an eyeball QSL. Oh, look at that. That's great.
And yes. I have to tell you, that QSL card is it's highly sought after.
I bet.
Telling hams, simply go on our Facebook page and you'll see our address. Send us your QSL and we will send you Mike Baxter's QSL. We are right now in between, I want to say, 400 to 500 QSL cards from not just the United States, but around the country, around the world, Great Britain, France, Germany, Italy. So it's real. I don't even know how it's getting to those countries, but it's pretty amazing.
A lot of it is coming from this very show, Ham Nation, because I'm getting emails from guys in England that hear about it and they get really excited about what's going on and been paying attention to your Facebook page. And we have had just dozens and dozens of emails in the last couple of weeks, John, that people have been watching your Facebook page after you posted the pictures when Sarah, Gordo, and I were there. So we appreciate all of that because it's all about amateur radio and it's all about letting the public know that, wow, this really is a wonderful hobby and maybe I should look into it. So thanks also to Leo for giving us this bandwidth in the production. And the numbers of amateur radio operator license has grown significantly and we know hundreds of them because of this program and now because of what you're doing with Last Man Standing. So I thank you very much for that. And we look forward to a lot of fun things that will happen in the future.
Well, I guess I appreciate you have a QRZ entry as well.
Yes, we do. It's amazing what a little celebrity will do. And of course, Tim is very well known and very well liked. But of course, we're not on the FCC database yet, but we are certainly in QRZ.
That's
which is
so
really
great.
Fun.
That's so great. Yeah. Look at this.
That's great.
So what's the best way? I want to get this QSL card. I should go to the Facebook page, like it.
Well, you can like it. You can. What we've been doing is having people send us their QSL cards. I bet I could hook you up with a QSL card, Leo.
Well, I'm talking not just for me, but for everybody out there. So they
They go to the KA0XTT Facebook page and Our address is written on Tim's QSL card, which is on the first. You're on the actual ABC page. If you go to the
This is Mike's page, so to speak.
Exactly. If you double click on his QSL card, you'll see our QSL address.
Oh, that's fantastic!
Send us a QSL. We return one. I have to thank Val and Billy who are out in my office who are packaging up all these cards, and then Tim for his patience in signing hundreds of cards. Every QSL that comes back is signed by Tim Allen. He does.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's great.
So we're having a lot of fun with it.
Well, one of the things that I have to applaud you for doing is that you contacted ICOM, Ray Novak. Ray contacted me. We started working together to put together an actual station. So many times you see things in the movies or television, and it's not real. It's a cardboard box with knobs on it. No, no, no. This is a working station, and I think this might be the time, Leo, for us to prove that. We've got a piece of video there that Alex can play of Gordon on a contact working me. So let's see how this real station and Mike Baxter's office is performing.
K9 Echo.
He's got a better antenna than I do.
K9 EID calling CQ 20 meters and listening.
It's Bob.
K9 EID. Hi, Bob. Boy, fancy meeting you here. Gordo, WB6NOA. What's new, Bob? Go ahead.
Hey, Gordo, WB6NOA. This is K9 EID. It's nice to hear you. Boy, you sound great. I hope everything is going well and things are good out there in good old California.
We are fine, and I have the honor of being in Tim's radio room at the studio with many, many hams around us here at the studio. So how's the signal? Go ahead.
The signal's great. All right. Yeah, Tim Allen doing his Last Man Standing show on ABC. We've been watching that, Sarah and I watch it. Of course, you see it comes on right before our Ham Nation, so we get to see it and then quickly tune in to Ham Nation on the Leo LaPorte's network. So it works out well, and we're so so honored to have Tim and all the guys bringing ham radio to the television networks. How cool. I hope you're hearing me okay, Gordon. You're just sounding great, big and bold here. This is K9 EID.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Yeah, they've done a great job. They've got a dipole antenna in the rafters. The RF noise from all the lights is not real bad. A full QSL card collection, and it's neat to see some of these cards, plus plenty of certificates on the wall, all the greatest equipment, an ICOM deluxe transceiver. So we're rolling at the Tim Allen studio. K9 EID, WB6NOA. Go ahead.
WB6NOA from K9EID. Well, I'm so happy to meet up with you on the bands today. Glad you answered my CQ. And we'll be looking forward to getting out and seeing you and Susie. And next time we'll chat, we'll probably be behind the television screens on Ham Nation. So thanks to all there at the studio. We appreciate what John's been doing, bringing amateur radio to ABC television through Tim's show. How great. WB6NOA, K9EID.
Roger, 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 Bob. Okay, our best to Sarah, 73, from the studio, and we'll catch you down the line. WB6NOA, QRZ.
Okay, very good, Gordo. We'll talk soon. This is K9EID clear. Bye-bye for now.
73, WB6NOA.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. What's really neat about that, Leo, he's got one of the brand new Comet antenna.
Oh, I have one of
analyzers.
Those. Oh, I don't have the analyzer. I have the antenna.
Comet's got a brand new one. And John, tell us a little bit about the Comet antenna that you have up above the lighting rig.
Well, you know, I have to say, first of all, not only thanks to Ray Novak, who helped us with ICOM, but also Mick Svertnik, who gave us the CHV-5X, which is it's a rotatable dipole, and it's got five bands in it. So I don't know if you guys have a picture of up our, above our stage, but we put all the antennas about 50 feet above Tim's set. And it's a real tough place for an antenna, a lot of metal and wire and lighting gear and all that. But the antenna performs really well, and it's even on a little rotator. So we can rotate our little dipole. We look up and watch it rotate. It's very funny. I think everybody gets a kick out of it, but it really does work up there. We've got a couple of other antennas, got a GP1 for 70 centimeters and 2 meters, and a couple of Arrow antennas, ground planes up there. So we're really well covered for antennas. And, you know, we've made contacts. We've made some contacts from the stage through local repeater systems and a little bit of low band, as you're seeing. And we want to do more. We want to get on D-Star on the ICOM gear. We want to definitely do more low-band contacts. I'd like to publish some kind of a schedule and have hams around the country contact us. Challenging from our stage. The stage is, for the most part, lined with a metal mesh that's grounded, making it a Faraday cage for just that reason, to keep RF out. But we still managed to get in and out of the stage. So we're enjoying it a lot. It's been a lot of fun building this station.
Wow. That's really great.
I've got antenna envy. I need to build a Faraday cage around this studio.
It really does help.
I bet it does.
Let's look at a couple of the slides we took, too. While there, you'll see some of the background of what's going on. That was from the front door when we came in and to meet John. And that's the set. And I'm sure if you watch the show, you can recognize that. They were shooting that day, but they had taken a break. So
wait a minute. It's not really a garage? Oh, man.
It's the real deal, and there it is.
Look at that. That's great. I love it. Do you feel like it adds, John, to his character? It gives him a richness, doesn't it? A depth.
It really does.
It's real.
I'll tell you, it is real. I think, you know, not just him, all actors that I've worked with really value something they can latch on to as a character. And it can be as simple as their makeup or their hair or their costume. But when you give them a prop that's not just a prop, and as Bob already said, you know, I've seen all the same movies you guys have seen and all the same TV shows you've seen. And like all hams, when we see someone tuning a VFO while they're listening to a signal, you go, well, that's not real. And or they're, you know, they've got an old, you know, a heat kit or something that that isn't even lit up inside. It breaks the moment for you. So when you make something that's real and you give it to the actors play with it. The first time I had the ICOM all turned on, I had the antennas hooked up and I had it dialed into a frequency, and Tim walked over to it and started playing with it immediately, big smile on his face. It's a real thing, and the actor and his character can plug into that real thing, and it adds realism not just for us, the audience, but for the cast as well.
That's important that it all works, and I applaud you for doing that. And especially things like the QSL cards where everybody can send their card in and get a response from you. This is real stuff. And Leo, as you well know, it's very important that we interact with our audience in some way, and that you do it here with the chat room. It's so cool that this all happens real time. And there's John making Mike Baxter a real person with his ham radio setup. How cool is that?
Yeah, I just think it's fantastic.
Well, thanks. And we're hoping to push it. You know, we want to push the envelope of this. We want this to be the next step for us is getting storylines incorporated, right, getting the writers to wake up to ham radio and write. And look, this is a family comedy. It's always going to be about Mike Baxter at home with his wife and three daughters and Mike Baxter at work with Hector Elizondo and his coworkers. But there is definitely an opportunity to weave a little bit of ham radio into it for fun. And it makes it fun for Tim, and it makes it fun for us, too. Certainly the hams on the show are really enjoying it.
Well, that's what I find amazing is how many hams you've got working for you. It's not only the set light up, but the whole thing is lit up. You've got real hams. You know, I can think of a couple of other cases where radio has figured in shows. Dennis the Menace, his neighbor tuned in a shortwave broadcast, I remember. But I can't think of a lot of hams in sitcoms in the past. Do you?
Not so much in sitcoms. I can give you a lot of examples of movies.
Sure.
As I'm sure you can. But sure. You know, the one on YouTube that most people see is Herman Munster.
Herman Munster. Kind of that's right.
Herman Munster.
That's right.
And also on The Simpsons, I believe Seymour Skinner plays a ham. But you know, those are usually
they're
pejorative.
Mocking. Yeah.
And inaccurate and mocking. And really, from the beginning of this, I thought that if I were going to have Tim's character be a ham, I especially wanted it to be accurate. And I wanted it to be positive in however, whatever way I could make it positive. And so far, you know, the ham radio gear is pretty incidental, except in one episode where we do hear the end of Cuso. But I think now that the gear is settled on the set and the writers have seen it and been exposed to it, I'm pretty sure that they'll figure out something fun to do with it.
There's so many ways you can go with that. So who knows, Leo? Maybe you'll be a guest in his studio someday.
I just want to respond on the band, you know. That'd be kind of fun. It's great. It was great to see Gordo actually using the gear. That's really neat. That's really cool.
There are some other pictures, Alex. You can run through a couple more of those. Tim was very that day to meet us all. I was very happy that he took the time out. And John, thank you so much for making this happen.
Oh, not at all. My pleasure. You know, people have pointed out on the you don't have to cut to me, stand in the picture, but people are talking about the resemblance between Gordo and Tim.
Wow, you're right.
It's on the Facebook. I'm like,
Gordo was the inspiration.
That's right.
He is well, the last man standing, last ham standing.
The last ham stand. There you go.
He is Mike Baxter. There you go. Look at that one. Now, does Mike know CW? Are we going to hear any dot, 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 dash, dash, dash?
I don't know. I hope so. You know,
that'd be great.
Well, Mike Baxter, I can't speak for Tim Allen yet, but Mike Baxter has won awards for almost every aspect of ham radio you could imagine.
He's a DXer, huh?
He sure is. I'll tell you, when you have the right connections at the ARRL and QST, you can win a lot of awards very quickly.
That's funny.
And of course, I have an art department that can print anything that they can provide.
He's a CCDX and everything. I think that's hysterical. Yes, yeah, I think that's great.
He can work
and
all
he's
states.
Got, he's got 500 QSL cards to his credit already.
Well, and some, and those are real, right? Because people are sending you your QSL cards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Every QSL card is real and sent in by a fan who is also a ham radio operator.
I love that.
And we've returned every single card we've gotten so far.
Leo, go back to that picture before with Sarah, Alex. Leo, I want you to note what John did. The little web camera, and this is real. This happens on the air. If you're paying attention, when Mike Baxter with Tim Allen sits down to do his webcast, note what the book that the camera sitting on. It's an ARRL handbook.
Oh, well, look at that. I can now that is, boy, that's going the extra mile for authenticity. That's hysterical.
You didn't do that just because we were there. That happens. That's there all the time, isn't it, John?
We do that weekly. It's very funny. Mike does his vlogs, his video blogs. And that happened, again, that happened accidentally or organically. The little mini tripod that I actually purchased when we did the pilot was just a little bit too short to get the right angle on Tim, and they didn't want to aim up at him to shoot up his nose. Mm-hmm. So somebody grabbed a big, thick book that they found on the shelf, and it happened to be the handbook. And I think we were all pretty delighted to see it in the shot, but I actually didn't do that when my set dressing people did that one for us.
That's wonderful.
Verisimilitude is everything, even in television.
That's right.
Yeah.
It really is. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
You know, if you put the stuff on the set, they'll find it and they'll use it and they'll make it work for them.
Yeah. And I think you're right. I'm sure it helps Tim get in character. There, you know, it's real.
There's the kitchen.
I think Bob will, I'll let you tell the story, but, you know, you and Gordon had a few minutes of chatting alone with Tim, and he really is genuinely interested in ham radio.
That's neat. You think you'll get a license?
He really is. And what was interesting is that Tim wants to get his license.
Oh, that's
great. I think Gordo's gotten some material for him. And he was talking about how we could hang antennas at his house. And he didn't want a lot of big things all over his house. He said, well, that doesn't have to happen. We can put up some nice antennas. So we were in conversation, and he really was genuinely ready to go. So I think you're going to have another student there, and you'll be able to test another one there on this set, John. By the way, Leo, John went and got his VE license so he could test all of these people, bring in some other people, of course.
So you've been doing the tests on set? That's great.
We did. You know, when I had my actually eight people that took the test that day, and, you know, we're not that we're busier than anybody else in the universe, but we work pretty much 12-hour days, and my poor PAs, I didn't want to make them go on a Saturday to take the test.
Right.
Contacted some other VEs in the area, and we put together a VE session here on our studio, right in a little multi-purpose room next to our stage. So we were able to offer the test right here on the lot, and it was great. We had a lot of fun doing
it.
That's over the top.
Yeah, no, no kidding. That's awesome.
We have a lot of time on our hands. You know?
No,
we
you
have
don't.
To fill our days.
No,
somehow.
You don't. That's great, though. Do they ever use the gear? Do they ever use the shack? Or is that off limits? That's got to be off limits.
No, it's not off limits.
Really?
We play with it. I mean, it's not as much as we'd like to because the day is busy. In fact, we're shooting right now. since about 6:20 something. We our curtain time is 6.
Oh.
So I'm playing hooky right now from the stage, but it all seems the radio's quiet, so nobody's calling my name, so I feel okay about it.
Oh, there it goes.
And yeah, no, that's just a little beep tone. But you know, we're in. I have the feed from the stage in my room. I'm watching the stage now, and I have the radios to the stage, so everything's all quiet on the Western
front. Very kind of you to give us time on a shoot day. That's a big deal. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, really, my pleasure, guys.
We really, really thank you for coming. You're really on duty, so appreciate you so much coming and spending time with all of us, and especially with what you're doing on the set. So we're going to all be watching Last Man Standing. And one last time, tell everybody how they can get your QSL card. There's been a couple in the chat room ask about that.
Well, the easiest way is to get our address off of Mike Baxter's QSL card, which is on our KA0XTT Facebook page. So you just search for Mike Baxter, KA0XTT. It'll come up. And the address at the Studio Center here in Studio City is written right on his card. Send us one of yours, and we'll turn one around and get Tim to sign it for you and send it right back to you.
There you go. Okay. That's great. Well, we really appreciate you being here, and glad that we didn't have any fires that you had to go put out so you could spend a little time with us. That's great. And who knows? Leo will have to get you fired up so you can work that station one of these days. You ought to be able to do that.
He's got a better antenna than I do. I can't take it.
We can make that.
Well, I'm sure Bob can. Bob has friends in the industry.
I have friends.
I'm sure you both have friends.
Friends,
but thank you guys. It was really a pleasure being on your show, and nice to meet you over the internet, Leo. And my hello to Gordon, wherever you are out there in the blogosphere. And I hope to talk to you all soon.
Thanks, John. Really nice to meet you.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks so much, John.
Take care.
And hello to Tim when you get back on this set. Tell him that.
Thank you. I'm heading there right now.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, he's got a job to do. Okay, I can't believe that, man. This is great. you got a great. You must have clout with that guy. That's cool.
But we do have to say. I wanted to get John on because we didn't know he could have been called at any minute because he's really on duty, Leo.
Right.
But Gordon is teaching a class tonight, and we're going to check in with him here in a little bit. But he's out in Newport Beach teaching a class this evening. He does this annually for the fire department there in Newport Beach, and it's a free set of I think it's 3 days long to get their cert certification. So we're real proud of what he and Susie do for the whole amateur radio community when he does these classes like this.
And so he looks really good in his fireman's uniform, I gotta say.
Yeah, doesn't
his
he
cert
though?
Uniform? Yeah. Well, I gotta take off too because Jennifer's holding the chili. But I will. Dinner is waiting. But I will. I will wish you the best in 73, and we'll talk real soon.
Thank you so much for coming in. I know you're so busy, but we appreciate just a few minutes that we get with you once in a while, and we'll look forward to the next time. So have a nice dinner, and glad you got to meet up. And what's that on your front? What's that on your shirt? W6TW.
One of these days. You might hear me on the airwaves there on the 20-meter band. You know, we'll
see. There you go. Crank
all
it
right.
up.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Leo. Yeah, what a great time. What a great time. And we also have Cheryl and George. Let's see. Cheryl, are you there? And I guess you're watching everybody in the chat room, huh?
I am. And greetings, everyone. And hello to the entire chat room there. And it's great to see you here, Leo, before you walk away. I hope you're still in earshot there. Seems like Leo Laporte is getting to be a name brand nowadays.
I saw that.
And just curious, you know, when you were having your QSO with Gordo at the show, it looks like someone asked if it was Bob on an FT-817 from the parking lot. Were you, Bob?
No, I was not. I was not in the parking lot.
That first QSO was with, I'm trying to remember his name right now. It's escaped me. But he was, in fact, on a little handheld in the parking lot across the street because we had so much noise, background noise in here, that's the only way we could do it. So it worked out fine. But yeah, that first QSO, it wasn't cheating. It was going through the airwaves. It actually was going through a repeater. So it didn't matter. It was across the way. It still had to go down to the mountain and back.
We had fun that day. We got to do that again.
Yeah, it's just, you know, just to answer the question, Cheryl, I know people are wondering, is we still haven't figured out a way to get a high-frequency antenna on this building. And while, yes, it was very kind of our friend in Pennsylvania let me use his antennas there, I really kind of want to have an antenna here, so I'm going to figure that out. I can use the FM. I can use the UHF stuff, but I want to get the HF antenna up here. We'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, the other problem is I talk all day, so basically when I'm done, I want to go home. Shut up. That's why I'm going to learn CW. Then I can just sit here and go,
there you go.
We're going to get the QSL cards, I promise, and I apologize to everybody. I put it on my to-do list right before the show, and I will get some nice ones. I'm looking at Tim's. It ain't that fancy. I could do something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks, Cheryl.
Okay.
You know, the chat room wanted to know if they needed an SASE, a self-addressed stamped envelope, when they requested that.
No. I'll send those out. We'll pay the postage on those. I just want your QSL card so I can put it up on the wall.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Leo, and staying later. That was great.
Thanks. And I do. And everybody who sent me a card, I have them all. We've saved them all. And you will all get your cards. Dag nabbit, before the month is over, I'm going to get those cards.
Hey, before you, well, I'm going to hold you one more minute. Gordo's here. Let's say hello to Gordo real quick.
Hey, Gordo!
There he is.
All right, live and direct from the Newport Beach City Fire Department. And I'm going to bring Matt in here just to give everybody on Ham Nation a warm welcome. Matt, thank you so much for the fire department sponsoring this class. And what do we have for our students? What do they represent?
This represents all the CERT programs here in Orange County.
Okay, all of the CERT program in Orange County, and I'd like all of our CERT members, part of this ham radio class, to give us a big Ham Nation. On the count of three, one, two, three. Well, there you go, Leo. And this class will be learning all about technician class theory. They're also going to be learning, Matt, a little bit of
Morse code.
A little bit of Morse code. They're going to be learning emergency preparedness, and they're going to be learning all that ham radio is. Plus, we're going to be doing demonstrations on the WIN system. And when you get through, you'll have a small handheld, and you'll be able to work the world. So, everybody, welcome to Ham Radio, and now back to the studios, Gordo at Ham Nation 73.
He does look pretty spiffy in his uniform, that's for sure. All right, good stuff. Well, I really appreciate Leo being with us tonight. Have a nice dinner, Leo, and we'll talk to you in the next few weeks. Perhaps we can do this again for just a few moments. Cheryl, anything we need? I know there's probably a bunch of things going on, but anything real important that we need to cover before we go pick up the news line? You have something kind of interesting about Newsline, too. It's kind of special, isn't it, tonight?
I do, absolutely. WA6ITF, Bill Pasternak, president and co-founder of Amateur Radio Newsline. It's his birthday today, and we wish him a very, very happy birthday here from Ham Nation. And I also wanted to, I guess it's the dawning of the age, Aquarius. So he's an Aquarian, and so is my floor director, David Russell, K9LPK. His birthday's in 2 days. So happy birthday in advance to David, too.
All right. That's great.
And back to
you. It's my grandson's birthday today, too. He's four. So lots of birthdays today. Well, let's bring Robert Sudock in and see what kind of news is going on in amateur radio this week. And it's all going to come from the Newsline report.
Thank you and good evening, everybody. From Amateur Radio Newsline report number 1799. These are the Ham Nation headlines for Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. Yanmeyan Island could soon head to the top of the DX World's Most Wanted list. The Norwegian government declared most of Jan Mayen a nature reserve and banned landings and camping on most of the island. Tour operators can no longer visit since the main landing area becomes part of the reserve, and the only regions remaining are on the southern tip of Jan Mayen, which suffers from extreme weather conditions. Amateur radio operations may still be possible, but access will be difficult as visitors encounter heavy seas and severe weather, and the recent JX-5O operation may be the last major de-expedition for some time. Now, it's possible that hams who were assigned as staff members of the island's Lonkin base will be able to activate Jan Mayen, but if and when that will happen is unknown. Last November, we reported that the FCC allocated spectrum for use by new implanted medical devices that operate between 413 and 457 megahertz. The devices range from short-distance monitors to more advanced diagnostic and treatment gear that will help restore mobility and other functions to paralyzed limbs. These will be used on a secondary basis as part of the Part 95 Medical Device Radio Communication Service. The rules allow access to 24 megahertz of spectrum on a secondary basis in the 413 to 419, 426 to 432, 438 to 444, and 451 to 457 megahertz bands. Amateur radio should hear little in the way of interference from these devices, but what's not known is the effect of nearby high-power transmitters from the various services across the spectrum, or the ability of any remote transceiver system to hear their telemetry and maybe transmit instructions back to the implanted units. Most researchers believe this to be highly unlikely. Ask anybody about social media, and they'll probably answer Facebook and Twitter, and if they're business-minded, probably LinkedIn. But our hobby, ham radio, is the original electronic social media. Texting, we've been there and done that. Pictures, we've been there and done that. Video, we've been there and done that. Mobile telephony, satellite communications, small portable devices, maritime mobile, spacecraft communications, direct contact with celebrities, heads of state, and even royalty. We've been there and done that. All without contracts, monthly fees, data caps, or roaming charges. And we've been doing it for more than a century. Your license opens doors in your professional life and leads to enduring relationships in your personal life. It was true for me. In 2013, I'll have had my license for 40 years. And on that very first day, WA2HVK answered my call. That was Bill Pasternak. Bill's become a close personal friend, and in the ensuing 30 years, a colleague. Now, who knows what would have happened if that QSO never occurred. So tonight, I want to recognize my dear friend's 70th birthday. Say happy birthday, Bill. And for those of you watching, I hope your license presents you with these same rewards. And for this week, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source of amateur radio news, brought to you each week without interruption for almost 35 years at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Robert Sudock, WB6FDF. Next week, join us as we mark episode 1800. Don't miss it if you can. 7-3, and we'll see you next time on Ham Nation.
Ah, oh, that's great, Robert. What a great voice. And Bill and I go back. I think I was 17 or 18 years old. Bill and I used to work each other on 6 meters, and you see it up here over my head, the original Harvey Wells. I still have it. It's right behind my call sign there. It's kind of dark up in there, but that Harvey Wells is still on the air. And I worked Bill and Wayne Green and a whole bunch of guys out on the East Coast. And 6 meters was really something back in the late 50s during that wonderful time that the band was open almost every day, 24 hours a day. It was really, great time. But that cycle was, I guess, one of the best, if not the best. And Bill and I have been friends ever since. He's done an awful lot for this hobby. It's been great that he does all this on his own too. So what a great thing to have Bill and all of his team around. And Cheryl, I understand you're part of that team. You're the, I guess, one of the newest member on the Newsline team. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true. I do the news read every week for about maybe 6 or 7 weeks running right now, which I really enjoy doing that for him. And there's one in my inbox I have to record by tomorrow, actually, too. So it's just really interesting news read all the way around. The whole show is really great, and I hope everybody gets a chance to listen to it. Or they could go to arnewsline.org and simply download the MP3 and the news script to read along with if you want to do it off the internet.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, speaking of a team, we have another member of the Ham Nation team, and he's down in Mississippi. George, how are you doing? What's happening in the old workshop tonight? Any smoke yet?
No smoke yet, but we'll have some in just a few minutes. Hi, Bob. Hi, Cheryl. I've been working on my QSL card here to send out to Last Man Standing. I want to get one of those, too. Tonight, we're going to do a little soldering. We haven't done any really for the past couple of weeks, so we'll actually see a little smoke tonight.
All right, we're ready. Let's let her fly.
You know, when you're soldering, you'll often find that you don't have enough hands to hold everything at once. And if you're not careful, let's take a look at some different ways to hold objects while you solder. There are several devices built for this purpose, and the ones you've seen me use the most are the helping hands and the Panavice. The helping hands I have were bought many years ago from Radio Shack. Current versions include a magnifying glass, soldering iron holder, and a sponge. The Panavice is a very handy device for holding larger objects while soldering. There are many different attachments available, some for holding PC boards. I even built my own helping hand, which I keep in my portable tool bag for use when traveling. This is simply a plastic clamp from Walmart with an alligator clip attached. It comes in mighty handy for holding connectors when doing field work at a radio station. Of course, Bob has recommended needle-nose vice grips in the past as one of his favorites. Now there's a new device from the author of The Artful Solderer, Lee Tingler. The Solder Buddy comes in a variety of models with various add-ons. The one we see here is the Hobbyist Ham Solder Buddy. It comes with a number of different pre-drilled holes designed to accommodate most of the popular connector sizes. There's also a vise for holding PL259 connectors while you solder. And there's a screw-off top for holding spare connector screws. The Solder Buddy is handy for holding quarter-inch phone plugs, mini plugs, RCA phono connectors, and the 8-pin mic connectors that hams use so often. There are also posts with Mueller brand alligator clips to use as helping hands. My favorite is the flexi post and clip that allows you to position a connector or wire exactly where you need it. Sometimes it's hard to see tiny objects while soldering. The Mag3 magnifying glass accessory comes in handy for this. I needed a new cable for my 80-meter loop antenna, so I decided to solder a couple of PL259 connectors to some RG8 coax and test out the Solder Buddy in the process. The vise worked great for holding the coax while I tinned the braid, and it also worked great for holding the connector while I soldered it. The one advantage that the Solder Buddy does have is that it's made of wood, so it won't sink away as much heat from your connector as a metal device would. We've got a few minutes left, and I need a new audio cable, so let's use a Solder Buddy for that as well. I use several pieces of outboard audio gear with my HF rig, and my connector is a standard issue 8-pin. The ring on the connector is not very deep, so it's difficult to unscrew from the rig. The cable here is actually two cables. One is for the audio, and the other one is for push-to-talk, and I enclose both of them in a piece of heat shrink tubing. This works okay, but it's not much to look at. For cable, I'm going to use the new Heil wire. In a single flexible jacket, you get one pair of wires for push-to-talk and a separate pair and a braided silver shield for audio. This helps keep the audio cleaner by better isolating noise on the push-to-talk wires from the low-level microphone signals. With braided shield, I often use a small screwdriver or dental pick to make an opening between the shield wires next to the insulation. I'll then use the dental pick to pull the center wires through the hole. Now the shield will stay braided together for a stronger connection and better stress relief. Now we'll cut the wires to the proper length and strip them, and we'll only strip a very small amount of insulation from the end of the wires in expectation that the insulation will shrink some once we apply hot solder. Next, we'll use the solder buddy to hold the wire while we tin the shield and individual conductors. The solder buddy's 8-pin mic connector socket will be used to hold the connector while we solder. Now, there is an accessory that comes with most electronic gear, which usually goes straight to the trash can. In the case of a ham rig, though, I suggest you hang on to it because you're going to need it sooner or later, like when you want to install a new mic connector. Looking at the diagram, we see microphone audio is on pin 1, push-to-talk is on pin 2, the up and down buttons for a hand mic connect to pin 3 and 4, and we won't use those. Now, there are two grounds on here, and we want to be sure we use the correct one. Pin 8 is the ground that we'll use for the second push-to-talk wire, and pin 7 is a separate ground used for the microphone audio. Pin 6 has no connection, and pin 5 has 8 volts DC, and we won't use either of those. Note that the pins may be wired differently on different radios. Now we need to know if we'll be using balanced or unbalanced mic or audio signals. Just about all HF radios are designed with an unbalanced audio input. Typical hand mics are unbalanced. Most microphones designed for consumer and pro audio are balanced. We'll cover balanced and unbalanced in a future episode, but for now, let's just say that an unbalanced mic will have a shield and one wire that carries the audio, and balanced mics, on the other hand, will have a shield and two wires that carry audio. I want to build this cable for balanced audio since I'll be using it either with a pro audio mic or signal processing gear that's balanced. That being the case, I'll connect the black audio wire with the shield. The white audio wire will carry the audio. Actually, the black wire still carries audio too, but that's beyond the scope of our segment today. I'll use the smallest piece of heat shrink tubing to hold the shield and the black wire together and make it easier soldering. As long as we're using the best mic cable, we might as well use the best connector for the job too. So we'll use the Heil HMC 8-pin. These come in a pack of two and cost only a few cents more than the generic connectors. The HMC 8-pin's cover has a longer sleeve that makes screwing it in and out of the rig much easier. There are also two holes in the rear of the cover, so you can use the larger one for your audio cable and the smaller one for a push-to-talk circuit to a foot switch or other key-in device. Since the cable I'm using has the audio and push-to-talk in one jacket, I'll only use the larger hole. Step 1, just like a PL259 and so many other connectors, you must slide the cover over the wire before you solder anything. Otherwise, you'll get to solder the connector twice. Now we'll locate the pin numbers on the mic connector, then place the connector in the hole labeled 8-pin on the solder buddy. Next, we'll tin only the pins on the connector that we actually plan to use. The hardest pin to reach is going to be pin 8, the center pin, so we'll solder that one first. This will be the blue wire, which is one of the push-to-talk wires. We want to use just enough solder for the job to avoid excess solder that could short out against another pin. The other red push-to-talk wire will go to pin 2. Next, we'll solder the shield and the black wires both to pin 7. Since we bundled these together earlier with heat shrink tubing, the soldering will go much easier. The only wire left now is the white mic audio lead, and we'll solder that to pin 1. To finish, we slide the cover over the connector, tighten down the screws, and our mic cable is complete. Now, that wasn't so hard after all, was it?
That was a lot of fun, and, you know, it was about time we covered soldering on a new mic connector. It's not that hard. Of course, you can buy pre-made microphone cables for those who don't want to solder, but if you do, it's not really that tough to do. And, Bob, we got something to give away here.
All right. What are we giving away tonight?
Well, tonight we're going to give away a copy of Constructing HF Wire Antennas. It came from Jerry Bustin, KR7KZ. And our question this week was, you know, last week we had on Ward Silver, and he did a little discussion there. And he talked about a movement in particular that's kind of akin to ham radio, and we asked what that movement was. And the winning answer came from Ian Kahn, KM4IK. And he said, your friend Jim and Ward Silver talked about the maker movement and how it relates and synthesizes with ham radio. So congratulations, Ian. You won the book, Constructing HF Wire Antennas, and we'll get it out to you this week. And next week, I tell you, Bob, let's give away two books here because it's part of a series. It's Antennas from the Ground Up. This came from MFJ, and it was written by L.B. Sibbick. I believe that's how you pronounce it, W4RNL. And, of course, we all know that he was a great author of many great antenna books and projects. And this is going to make a nice set for someone. If you'd like to win, here's the question. What type of mic connections do most ham rigs have, balanced or unbalanced? And just email your answer to hamnationcontest@gmail.com and get it in the next week, and you may have a chance to win this set of great books from MFJ.
That's wonderful. What a great great thing. And, you know, Lee, I've known Lee for a long time, and he came up with this solder buddy, and I recommend that to everybody. It is a wonderful device to help you solder because you have to be able to have something to hold it. Now, I like the pan of ice is great, George, and I'm sure you agree because you probably carried it around to hundreds of radio stations through your career. But that little solder buddy is pretty handy, isn't it?
Yeah, I was really impressed with it, and I really like that flexible clip that he had on there because you can put it exactly where you want it with that. You know, you have a little problem using the helping hands, getting both clips to line up exactly where you want it, but this little flexi post he had really did the trick, and he's got most of the connector sizes you need in there. Of course, there's plenty of room. You can drill more holes if you want to. But the little vise was good, too, for holding the coax and the PL259, so I'd give a thumbs up to the solder buddy. I really enjoyed using that, and I hated to send it back to you, Bob.
I got to get it back to Lee. Well, we'll have to invest in some of those, that's for sure. And one thing I do want to tell everybody, I designed this wire, and I designed it some years ago because I got sick and tired of the junk you bought in the radio shops around. And this wire is pretty amazing stuff. It's very flexible, but as you saw, it solders easy, and that's 18-gauge wire. It's not the little bitty 26-gauge like most of this stuff, and the cable clamps work. That was another thing. I went to Foster. Foster is the company that owns the patent for the 8-pin connector type thing that was used in so many CBs. And then when an amateur radio came out, they still use it. But, man, try to get it inside some of the radios. It's recessed. It doesn't work very well. You can't get your fingers in there. So I made that bigger, and then I also made it so we could put another line coming out for push-to-talk. So if you haven't tried some of these connectors and the Heil wire, you might want to check that out at your dealer or through the website. So really a nice session. That's great. We learn a lot when we see all this, and you do such a great job with it. Now, your antenna book, George, This is, are we going to talk about making antennas? If we read this book, we'll be able to build our own antennas. Is that correct?
That is correct. The one we gave away this week, Constructing HF Wire Antennas, is one I've been reading through recently. It's got big print, so, you know, no hard reading there. But he really goes into detail, and not too fine of detail, but it would be great for entry-level amateurs or even those that are experienced. Now, the books we're giving away next week from SEBIC are a little more advanced and, you know, get into a little more theory in them. So you can't have too many antenna books. I would highly recommend any of these.
Well, they seem interesting, but now here's my question. If you build an antenna, aren't you supposed to, like, put it up? You're not supposed to just leave it in your shack. Is that right? And it works better outside, right?
It does work better outside. Of course, you know, some guys don't have the option of going outside, so they'll go in the attic, as we saw, several episodes back. But, yeah, and generally the higher you get it, the better. On VHF, you know, height is everything. It's got to be up there to get good coverage. On HF, it doesn't have to go quite as high. It's better if you can get it up high. But like here, my options were kind of limited. So my 80-meter loop is only 20 feet off the ground. But, you know, I've had no trouble talking all over the U.S. and into Europe with it.
You're big and strong here. Well, where I'm going with this is a couple up in northern Illinois received an antenna recently, and it's a really cool antenna from the late John Basilotto, W5GI, a great friend of mine, personal friend. He was a beta tester on many of our microphones, very knowledgeable guy, and we lost him last year. But he came up with this great antenna, and one of them was built and sent to this couple in northern Illinois, but it's still, like, laying in their garage. And Cheryl, you know anything about that? I mean, like, are we going to see this antenna put up? What are we doing?
One day soon, we're really looking at trying to get that up. We just got a hold of some actual, I think it's Kevlar line to get it up in the air. We really want to get it up high and flat and everything. And it was a really nice gift from AI4 DQ. So we're very excited to have it. It's supposed to be a little bit better than the one we're actually running. So what can I say? It should be shortly. I can't really quote a date. I wouldn't want to not hold ourselves to it, but...
You're going to have to end up with your antenna expert there, your floor director. You're going to have to put out a chat room
LPK.
Call. Yeah, you're going to put out a call in the chat room, and you'll have about 300 people show up with this antenna. I know you'll get it up. I just had to razz you a little bit.
I can tell. You know. I do have some questions for you guys, though, that came up in the chat, if you have a moment.
Well, you're going to get on 48 after a while, on 3848 with the guys, and JD and John and Phil. They're all going to give you a rough time about this antenna because they, whatever.
3847, right? 3847 megahertz, right?
47. One thing we want to tell everybody here, seriously, I think we're going to end up on 72.00 tonight. And any other frequencies, I think Bill... K5LN is going to be on, and Mike will be on the West Coast. So we'll be roaming around a little bit on 75 and 40, and try to get on D-Star if you can. I'm not sure where that's going to be, but it'll probably be on Joe's regular D-Star channel. So we'll look there, and I'm going to get on WinStar after a while, too. So we'll get that all going. Any other thing we need to cover, Cheryl, that's important from the chat room?
Absolutely. If you just have a moment, a couple things. One for you, Bob, is I read, is the Harvey Wells a transceiver? Is that something you have on your shelf there? Harvey Wells?
No, that's strictly a transmitter. And right over my shoulder, let's see, I got to go this way. That's an SX99, that silver panel jobby right there. Yeah. That dude is it was my first receiver. It still works. I keep all this stuff going, and I was very proud of that as a 15-year-old kid that my parents bought me that Hallicrafters and that Harvey Wells. And I guess one of these nights we need to have a show and turn all that stuff on and kind of show people how it was in the old days. We'll set up something, but it was a separate receiver, a separate transmitter, had to have a switch to switch the antenna and a switch to turn the transmitter on. Those were fun days, though. Nothing like today where you just have usually one knob and away you go. Nope, had to tune it all. So we might do that one of these days. You chat room, some of you guys, email me and let me know if you'd like to see some of that. We can bore you with some of the old days. Really fun days of ham radio, Cheryl.
Great. Oh, real nice. I would be real interested to see that. I'm sure with them on and lit up would be great. One other quick question is for George. Hello to you there. And what great solder is best for ham radios is the question in the chat room that they wanted to know what you recommended.
Well, I use a multi-core solder normally, and it's usually rosin or ezrin based. I like lead solder. Some countries kind of frown on that. But, you know, I've been using it for years, and it's always worked great. I've heard tales that some of the new non-leaded solder doesn't work quite as well, although it's getting harder and harder to find lead solder. So, you know, don't go down to Radio Shack and buy your solder, although that is better than it used to be. Find you some good solder from, like, Kester. There's a couple other brands out there, too, that work just as well. And I usually buy it on a big spool rather than a little bitty roll because I use so much of it.
Great. Thank you for that answer. And they really wanted to know, George, can you tell them a little bit about the sound effects source? Where do you get all that? They wanted to know that in the chat room.
Well, many sources. I've been collecting sound effects for years on CDs. Some even came off of vinyl. Sometimes you buy a video editing package, you'll get a few more sound effects with it. I used to work in radio, so I got some from there. And then other times I just don't have one that'll work, so I'll search the internet and find something that's suitable.
Yeah, they are really terrific. They really add a real punch to your video there. Really appreciated. And back over to you, Bob.
Well, there's going to be another net. Bill Ellen, I think, is going to be on 7268. So look around a little bit. And we're going to have to get out of here. We started on time, and I think we're going to be able to end on time. How wonderful. Next week is kind of special, too. We're going to have Amanda and Jeff on. You don't want to miss this. The Colorado Flash from the Colorado area. I'm really excited to have them on. And I'm going to get a little bit next week into some audio things. Guys are sending me and calling me, which is fine. I love to hear from everybody about what are we doing to get things happening on the internet. And we're going to cover some of that in the mixers and some of the stuff next week. So be with us. And BSW gives us the wonderful opportunity to use Elise's mixers, which gives us our USB input. And we'll get into all of that from BSW. And, of course, from there, who knows what we'll get into. But George and Gordon and I will come up with something. And Cheryl will keep us all appeased to what's going on in the chat room. So it's been a fun, wonderful night. Thank you all for watching and for listening. We know there's a lot of podcasts out there that listen to all of this. We try to cover both. It's kind of tough because we are bringing you pictures a lot of times. But I think tonight was a nice mix. So, George, thanks very much. Will I see you on 75 after a while?
I'm going to get on 75, and you say possibly 3847?
Okay, that'll work. I met some of your wonderful friends on 38 last night, real late, Dom and those guys, so we might check in with them again. Cheryl, I guess you'll be on with John and Phil and JD and all that group, right?
Yes, 3847.
Okay, get that antenna up, Dave. Get that antenna up, Dave.
I'm going to give you a salute there.
Thanks so much to Leo to being here, and we appreciate John Amodeo. How wonderful to have him take his time and bring us some of the treasures of what's going on with Last Man Standing. So thanks very much from all of us here. We'll be talking to you next week on Ham Nation. Pass the word and keep the filaments lit. We got a lot of stuff coming next week for you. So We'll go fire this one up. Here you go. We got some more things to go there. We'll talk about this more next week, but don't miss it. It's going to be too much fun. K9 EID is clear.